night they'd been there. The first warning of their arrival had come from Doc, heeling the recalcitrant Judas onward, his feet sticking out either side of the rangy mule as he careered erratically toward the spread. Doc had reported seeing movement of a group of people out across the dusty gray wilderness toward the north, but he hadn't been able to give any details or approximate numbers. Jack's immediate response had been to wonder whether the LAV-25 might have broken down, and this could be Ryan and JB plotting their way homeward. But it wasn't. They'd stayed out in the desert for that night. Dean had wanted to go out and spy on them, find out how many there were and who they were, but the grown-ups had all agreed that the game wasn't worth it. If they had evil motives and captured the boy, then the result would be catastrophic. But the companions had worked a shift system of sentries for the night, two at a time, 4 hours on, one inside the house and the other one outside, but moving no more than a dozen feet from the walls. Nothing had happened. And in the morning, the group of travelers had approached the ranch right out in the open, hands showing, without a gun in sight. Jack had everyone organized to greet them. Dean watched the rear of the building from an attic window with a Remington 580 hunting rifle that fired a .22 caliber round. The boy was under orders to move at random intervals to the two flanks and make sure that no intruder tried to creep around on the blind side.
Don't play games, kid.
I really do wish you'd stop calling me that.
If you think it's only a small risk, put a bullet in the day 2 feet in front. If it's a big risk, then chill him.
Christy and Doc were positioned out of sight behind the lace curtains over the windows to either side of the main door of the house. The sliding casements were open about 6 inches. Doc had his Lama in the event they tried to charge the place. Christy relied on her double-action Smith & Wesson 640, chambered for 5.38 caliber rounds. Jack was well aware that Mildred was much the best shot of them all. It wasn't altogether fanciful to claim that the stocky black woman might very well be the finest shot in the whole of Deathlands. She sat on the bench on the veranda, behind the swing seat, with a piece of embroidery on her lap. Her Czech target revolver, the ZKR 551, was hidden beneath it. The front door had been kept open in case anyone had to get inside or out in a hurry. Jack stood at the front of the porch, his left hand leaning against the sun-warmed wood. His right rested easily on the butt of the .357 Colt Python with a big 6-inch barrel. The jagged scar on the teenager's left cheek tugged up the corner of his mouth and what might have been a smile of welcome, but wasn't. The strangers were all male. 14 of them were grouped together, except for one who was some distance behind, dragging along an enormous wooden cross, large enough to hang a man on. The leader was extremely tall and thin, naked above the waist, his body darkened and seamed like a storm-blasted poplar. As they came closer, Jack blinked his pink eyes into the sunlight, trying to make out more details. There was no sign of any weapons, though most of the group carried short whips, their tips caked and clotted with dried blood. Jack also noticed that most of the men had been cruelly beaten, their flesh embossed with scars and cicatrices, a few of them so fresh that they were leaking watery blood over the cotton pants. It didn't look like any of them had been close to a barber in the past 5 years, with filthy hair trailing over their shoulders and straggling matted beards. They were one of the ugliest bunches of human beings that the teenager had ever seen. Having lived for some recent time in the arid and ageless Southwest, Jack also knew well enough what kind of people they were. The group was 20 yards off.
Hold it right there. Let's talk some before you come closer.
The obvious leader carried a wooden staff, polished from long use, as tall as himself, bearing the twisted figure of a silver, tortured Christ. He flourished it toward the house.
Hallelujah, brethren!
What's your business?
Business of the Almighty, young man.
You penitents?
Some call us that.
The man with the cross had finally joined them, laying his burden carefully on the dusty earth. He knelt beside it and picked at a scab on his shoulder.
What you call yourselves?
We are the slaves of sin. And my name is the Apostle Simon, leader of this brotherhood. We have many masters and mistresses. Dolores, our Lady of Pain, is but one of them. But their name is Legion.
You heading true?
We move always. Now we are bound for the Gulf, where we shall find a vessel to transport us to India.
India?
Yea, verily, woman of Africa, that is our plan. Do you not approve?
Firstly, I come from Lincoln, Nebraska, not Africa. And second, it doesn't matter to you whether I approve of your plan or not, does it?
No.
Mildred nodded, laying aside the embroidery and standing, the revolver in her right hand.
So don't fuck around with wasted words, Apostle Simon.
Hush! The words of a foolish woman are but the rattling of pebbles in an empty vessel, brothers.
And the uses of men are less than those of a fish upon a bicycle, brother.
Quietly, Mildred.
Sure.
We need food and water.
Need?
We demand it as our right. For we live upon the land and pray for all men.
Don't live on my land, mister.
Christy leaned on a pillow placed on the windowsill, concealed from the slaves of sin by the lacy curtain. She had been studying the 14 men, noting the dreadful self-imposed wounds on their emaciated bodies. Doc stood nearby.
What do you make of these sickly visitors, Christy?
Sick is the word. Flagies is what we used to call them when I was a little girl back in Harmonyville. A couple bunches of them came visiting us once, but the menfolk made sure they didn't linger long.
Christy could just make out the figure of Doc, kneeling uncomfortably on the other side of the front door, the filtered sunlight glinting off the gold engraving on the commemorative hand blaster.
I once saw a very old black-and-white video. It was set in the Middle Ages and included a knight and the figure of Death himself, his face like a white moon, and a quartet of flagellants. They were offensive enough in the video, but these men here...
At least they don't usually hurt anyone except themselves, Doc.
Did I hear the word normally pass your enchanting Cupid's bow lips, my dear Christy? I hardly think that is the right description to apply to such depraved and miserable specimens of humanity.
Christy didn't carry on the conversation, stopping to listen to what was going on between the self-styled Apostle Simon and Jack Lauren.
You refuse us food and drink?
Water in the well. Take what you need. No food.
Why?
Get what you deserve in life, not what you ask for. Just asking don't mean getting.
The religious madman stamped the butt of his staff in the dirt, raising a tiny cloud of sandy dust that instantly vanished in the wind.
We are many, and you are few.
We come cheaper by the dozen!
Simon looked up, seeming aware for the first time of the curtains flapping over the partly open casements.
How many of you? How many? Not so many as us.
Enough.
We deal in the word of the Almighty and cruel Lord, and will punish the graceless at his command.
And we deal in lead.
Jack stepped out into the light, his blaster drawn. The sun blazed off his pure white hair, flaring like a magnesium grenade, catching the ruby glint in his eyes and revealing the pallor of the tomb in his cheeks. Three of the slaves of sin dropped to their knees, crossing themselves. Even the Apostle Simon was startled enough to take three stumbling steps backward.
God protect us.
Simon held the staff toward the albino teenager, as though it would hold some nameless and blasphemous entity at bay.
Take the water and go.
You are the promised Antichrist. It is written that he shall have eyes of fire and a halo of silver light, and he shall come to earth to destroy all that is pure and holy.
You shit for brains bastard. My daddy was a minister, and he'd have had you slung out of any church he ever preached in for this crap.
And his concubine shall have skin of ebony.
Mildred shook her head.
Put a bullet through his knees, Jack. Get the sickos out of here.
Jack gestured with a cannon-mouthed python.
You heard the lady. Off my land by noon.
Simon lowered the staff and suddenly smiled at Jack.
I should not have spoken as I did. Foolish pride and prick-powered anger. The goat of Mendez entered my brain and stole my tongue. Dialogue is a two-way street, is it not?
Jack's expression didn't shift.
Waste of time buttering steak after it's eaten. You take the water and go. Noon.
Could we camp out yonder for one more night, friend? We are greatly fatigued, and we fear that we might meet the horned beast whose name may not be whispered, and us weakened and unready to...